Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin is back with us after a little vacay action. We'll get a little time away. Nothing wrong with a little time away in the offseason. They won't let me out. I have to stay here and just keep churning out content. But I love it. I love it. Listen, we got a lot to talk about because Courtney brought up a couple of players that probably will not be getting the franchise tag here in Chicago. And I think at least one, some Bears fans are still in on. Then we got to talk about this Ian Cunningham situation. Just like the Duval, it's getting weird. And Courtney, you're in on Rodgers to Chicago. All that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. How was the vacay, Courtney? How are you feeling right now?
It was good. It was nice to get away after the Super Bowl and just try to unplug for a little bit, because once the combine starts next week, it's full throttle through free agency and then into the draft, or rather, draft OTAs, and the Bears will start OTAs earlier because they have a new head coach. But it was good. It was a nice little break, and I'm ready to get back into the Trey Smith sweepstakes. Is that what we're
Trey
calling
Smith,
it?
Trey Smith. Yeah, we got a little Trey Smith sweepstakes, kind of. We don't know. And
Bears fans have gone like all in on this. And I get it. There's an article up at ESPN.com today that Matt Bowen put together that has him projected to go to the Bears. You know, he's the top interior offensive lineman on the market right now, potentially to hit the market right now if the Chiefs can't pay him. So we'll see. We'll see. The buzz at the Super Bowl about Trey Smith and what the Bears, like, what, you know, the Bears fan base was all in on is interesting. I'm very curious to see if they can indeed pull off the big swing to try to fix the interior of the offensive line in a couple weeks.
I just always think it's interesting when, like, I get it, it's very tough to re-sign Trey Smith, dang near impossible, but when fans lock so much in on a player, and then there's that shock when it's like, how the heck did they just re-sign him? Like, I don't see them, like, I've seen GMs and owners get creative with this cap space. Like, I don't know if I'm fully in full belief that Trey Smith is leaving Kansas City, especially after the Super Bowl. But there could be a couple of people leaving here, according to our own Courtney Cronin here. Talked about a couple of names that I think are very interesting. One we've talked about a little bit. And Keenan Allen, who you don't believe will get the franchise tag put on him, but you brought up another name. And I think there's some Bears fans who are still in the camp of, if Tevin Jenkins can stay and show you something and give you, you know, like, it's better to have him for 10 games healthy than to not have somebody who can play the position at all. All of those thoughts go in there, right? But you don't expect either one of them to receive the franchise tag here from the Chicago Bears. Do you feel like it's just there needs to be kind of this breath of fresh air from the Tevin Jenkins? I don't want to call him an experiment. I mean, he's a good player, but the experience, I'll say.
It's not even that. Like, let's be real about this. The price tag, the Bears don't need to pay that. But that's what drives me nuts when people are like, oh, I want to franchise tag this guy. For the offensive line, the franchise tag starts around $25 million. That's a one-year, fully guaranteed salary with the hope if you most times you tag somebody and then you work out a long-term deal. I don't think they need to pay that. I don't think that's like going – Tevin Jenkins has missed 20-plus games over his four years in Chicago. Like, there's no reason – you'd be overpaying and – respectfully, for Keenan Allen, I'm not paying him over $25 million at 32 years old. I'm not doing that. I mean, that's more than you. That's more than they paid him last year when they incurred the salary, the $23 million salary that he had when he was traded from the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, I'm not. I don't think it's like out of the realm of possibility that either are back, but on the franchise tag. No, like, the franchise tag is used for players. And first off, it's a you know, the Bears used it last year on Jalen Johnson as a placeholder. Because remember, that was done on the Tuesday. Like, the deadline was up, I believe, like March 5th last year, something like that. It was done on a Tuesday. Or rather, I think it was a Tuesday. And then by Thursday, 2 days later, they had worked out the long-term deal, the four-year extension, $72 million. Like, they did right by him. You don't often find that, you know... It to me, a lot of times, like outside of the quarterback position, it's a last resort sort of thing, because it's like, if you know, Cincinnati Bengals, for example, last year, you can't pay everybody. So they're, and it sounds like they're about to franchise tag T. Higgins for a second straight year, because they're also trying to pay Trey Hendrickson. They're trying to pay Ja'Marr Chase. They just paid Joe Burrow 2 years ago. Like, they're trying to make sure that they have all the pieces in place so they can get as many players under contract as possible. The Bears don't have, I mean, the Bears have, you know, the sixth most cap space in the NFL right now. I don't think that there's anybody that's about to hit free agency, a pending free agent, that you're like worried about walking out the door and worried about not, like, you'd be A, worried about them walking out the door, B, worried about not being able to get a long-term deal done with them. Keenan Allen, for his age, I mean, granted, he had 140 targets last year. Like, that, he's a tremendous player, but age and injury concerns, you're on the other side of 30. Like, that's why it drives me, like, kind of up the wall thinking about, like, are the Houston Texans really going to franchise tag Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL tear and he's 31 years old? I think that's wasted money, especially with the draft, especially when we see you can strike, like, really good prospects in the third, fourth round. And maybe that's the route that Ben Johnson wants to go to get some more speed on the outside. We'll see. I don't think that financially it makes sense for Keenan Allen or for Tevin Jenkins. They're two bigger pending free agents to get the tag by any means.
No, I agree with you. And I think the Tevin Jenkins one, to me, is more of a, you can get a contract worked out probably at a much lesser price.
If
you
price
wanted to keep him, sure, you can get incentives done involved in that, where if you don't play a certain amount of games, that is kind of this is the realm of money that you're going to be making if you don't play X amount of games. The Keenan Allen one, I think, because of what you said, do you want to tie long-term money or, you know, 1-2 year money to Keenan Allen to keep him here if you feel like he is a safety blanket for Chicago? Now, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I agree with you, but to me, it seemed like Keenan Allen became the safe space for Caleb Williams last season. And while Keenan Allen didn't always perform in those moments, can you get rid of Caleb Williams' safe space where you don't want to commit long term, but also you don't want to just leave Caleb out to dry and just say, go figure it out with Roman DJ yet?
I see where you're coming from on that, and I get it. Like, Keenan was the security blanket for Caleb Williams, and that's, there's no denying that. 140 targets, you can't, it's no slouch. But why are you paying $25.6 million on a fully guaranteed one-year deal on the tag to an aging player, somebody who's dealt with injuries? And this is now, like, the foot injury that he's had has been a nagging one. So maybe, you know, their training staff clearly knows his medical history, and maybe it's something that they don't think would go away or something that he'd have to constantly be dealing with. It just doesn't make sense fiscally to lock in a player of where he's at in his career to that sort of salary. Like, they've got $63-ish million in salary cap space. To me, the flexibility that you'd have, if you want to bring him back, like, let him test his market. Maybe he goes back to LA. Maybe he goes somewhere else. If he wants to stay in Chicago, I think you can get him at a much more team-friendly number than using your franchise tag. And again, they're not in the spot where they've got all these guys they have to try to re-sign, and it's like, well, somebody's going to default to being a franchise tag candidate. To me, they can get this done with both players if they wanted to, which I'm not of the belief that both guys are back. I think we've talked about Tevin Jenkins. Maybe you let him go and explore his market and see what his value is. He said he wants to be here, but he also understands the business side of it. He's been hurt. That's going to cost you. You'll find out your true market value from other teams, but that's going to cost you on the open market, because teams are going to say, we can't depend on you, even though you're a good player when you're out there. I don't think he's going to make top of line money when you see some of the other interior offensive linemen that are available potentially as free agents. So I just don't see for either player it making any sense financially for the Bears to go all in at such a high price point when they can easily get this done. Maybe not easily, but like, it's probably a much less cumbersome or less financial weight getting it done at a lower number.
Yeah. Listen, I agree. I think that this is one. I think with both players, Keenan, while he is the safety blanket, if Caleb is what you drafted him to be, he should be able to create a new safety blanket. He should be able to find a new guy that he is very comfortable with. It also seemed like Rome Odunze kind of started to become that as we got closer to the end of the season. A lot of those big throws are to Rome. So the Keenan Allen portion of this, I think I'm fully fine with moving on from Keenan Allen, and you get the pick back from that, the compensatory pick.
And Kevin, I think let's say one more thing on this. Like, remember last year they trade for him and there was the conversation of, well, you're on the last year of your deal. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Have they talked to you about a contract extension? And from the very jump, they did not. And it didn't seem like that came up much. I mean, when you ask Keenan about it during the season, it doesn't feel like, you know, that was ever something that was broached during the year. Like, hey, we're close, or we're trying to get you a deal done. Even like the second to last game when he said that he's, you know, putting good stuff on tape, he's auditioning for 31 other teams. He knows that his time is probably coming to an end in Chicago, and that he's, if he wants to continue playing after an incredible, you know, decade plus in the NFL, that it might have to come on a different team. And I don't think there's any love lost there. I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, as good as he was for Caleb Williams' growth, you have two franchise receivers that you can build around now, and then you can continue to add at a younger and less expensive cost or price tag with the draft, or even, there's not a lot of receivers that are available right now. Of course, if you look at the big names in free agency, potential free agents, pending free agents, Devontae Adams' name is going to rise to the top.
Yeah.
Are the Bears going to be in on Devontae Adams? Are they going to be in on Cooper Kupp? I don't think so. Financially, does it make sense to go to pay for older receivers? I mean, Devontae Adams is kind of in his own class in that regard, maybe. But I think a lot of Bears fans would be pretty upset if the resources continued to go from building the team on the outside in, than like handling the trenches, handling the things that you saw benefit a team that just won the Super Bowl in Philadelphia, a really strong offensive line and a pass rush that from the inside out is really, really good. And that's what the Bears need.
Yeah, 100%. And the conversation around Tevin Jenkins, the only part that does scare me with the possibility of bringing Tevin Jenkins back, Courtney, is even if you bring him back at a cheap deal, it doesn't matter what, you could bring him back for 50 cents. Tevin Jenkins is too talented a player for him not to be a part of your starting lineup. My issue with Tevin last season is not the fact that he fought every single week to try and be in that starting lineup. It's that you knew most weeks he wasn't going to be able to finish the game. Mm-hmm. And that kind of was the end all be all. But if he's able to get through practice, if he's able to get to the game, he's too talented for you not to start him. I think that puts you in a bad position with a lot of the guys that could have come in as backups, because now they're not getting number one reps throughout the week.
It's unrealistic to think they're going to replace everyone on the interior of the offensive line. Like, like the primary starters would be Matt Pryor at right guard, Coleman Shelton at center, and Tevin Jenkins at left guard. You know, that's a lot of snaps that you lose. Would you like to upgrade all of that? Sure. But you can only do so much in one offseason and in one free agency period. Of course, you could do some of this, handle some of this in the draft and, as well. But I don't think, When you look at the offensive line and think, oh, clean sweep, they're just going to upgrade this thing. Like, you know, three fifths of it's going to be upgraded. I think that's unrealistic to think. So that's why I still hold out the belief that if they love what Tevin Jenkins brings on a certain basis, because he's not always healthy, then you try to negotiate to get him here at a more reasonable number by letting him test free agency, find out what his fair market value is. If there's a team that's going to pay him more than you are, would even be committed, like ever think about being committed to, then good. Like, no love lost.
Yeah.
You guys didn't draft him. You moved him around. You made him go through quite a bit in the first 3 years of this regime, and you let him go somewhere else. But if they think that he could be a viable backup, somebody who you can rely on when you really, you know, say when you really need him, but like somebody that you can rely on, you know, more times than not, like again, like better than like just depth that you could sign off the street or guys that you can get, you know, that'll be in the second, third wave of free agency, then you make that happen. But it has to be at a reasonable number considering the availability factor. There's a problem.
Yeah, 100%. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the Bears feel about Tevin in the long run. Appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. Hit the like button, subscribe to the page. We got to talk about the Ian Cunningham conversation. Because like I said with the whole Duval thing, it's getting weird. First, I do want to let you guys know that I'm excited about a new partner of ours here in Mitch Lyons Wealth. Mitch Lyons is a former NFL player, and he's the expert in protecting your nest egg and optimizing your income. Go to MitchLyonsWealth.com. Mitch Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, Wealth.com. Your biggest game plan to protect, grow, and win retirement. All right, Courtney, the Ian Cunningham conversation to the Jacksonville Jaguars is just like Liam Cohen starting to feel really, really weird, because we are, as you mentioned before the show, almost just about a week away from the combine here. It seems like there is no real direction in this Jacksonville Jaguars franchise, which I guess may be par for the course. There's still scouts in place. They're probably going into a draft with the people who were already there, who you probably have some questionable decision-making in that room already. Like, is the Ian Cunningham to Jacksonville situation still a real possibility in your mind? Or does this kind of feel like we're going towards that Arizona Cardinals situation where they were ready to move forward with him and he was like, you know what, I'm good. I'll bow out.
Well, it's late. It's late in the process right now. Usually situations don't happen like the one in Jacksonville where they waited 2 weeks after they could have fired Trent Baalke to fire him. Yeah. And it's, you know, they said, we're going to get the head coach in place first and then go find the GM. They went about it backwards. It's typically not the model that most NFL teams will go with to, you know, build their front office and coaching staff structure. But they, you know, the team announced 5 finalists. Champ Kelly was one of them. Ian Cunningham's one of them. And it's all supposed to take place during this week. And, yeah, you know, he's been a name every cycle for the last now 3 years, whether it was for the Titans job, whether it was for Arizona. His name's being floated, which leads you to believe, okay, it's a matter of time. Like, sooner rather than later, he will end up becoming a general manager. Ryan Poles has talked about it. He's kind of almost talked about it with an air of inevitability that he's preparing for that. I mean, hell, like, look at this past, you know, all the stuff that was going on during the coaching search. He said, hey, if Ian's got opportunities, then, you know, he can do that. And if he bows out of something, which he did, like, he can come back in and be part of our process. And I don't know what to think about Jacksonville as far as, like, what, you know, you're going into the combine. You would like to think they're going to have a general manager before next week. Otherwise, is your assistant GM, is, you know, whatever their structure is in their front office, like, who's making the decisions? Obviously you're not making decisions at the combine, but you're going through the whole process, and that's where the offseason officially starts. They're in draft meetings right now. Every team in the NFL is trying to get their board set so they can go into the combine with an idea of what their priorities are and how they view these players that they're about to see work out. See, you know, do all these things in Indianapolis and then interview them too. So I don't think it's a matter of, like, you know, up against it 11th hour, like, that might bother him. If he really wants this job and he's the right candidate, like, you take the job. There's only 32 of these, but, you know, what it means for the Bears, and I think we've been over this a bunch, like, it's, you know, what is the structure that Ryan Poles has in place to insulate him as a decision maker? We saw that on the 1920 football drive during the draft when they were talking about Roma Dunze, like, having potentially to move up. And there was a cool conversation that was shown there about Ian Cunningham be like, do you really want to do this? Like, kind of like, let's think through it. Then you think about some of the other trades that were made before that had the Ian Cunningham influence all over them, with Baltimore and Philly, you know, the Robert Quinn deal three years ago now, Roquan Smith. Like, he has a lot of connections around the league. And I do think that if you lose him, yes, you do gain the two back-to-back years of third-round compensatory picks. That's obviously
very helpful. Yeah,
but, like, I think the conversation around the Bears is who becomes the right hand person for Ryan Poles as he goes into a pivotal offseason where he's got to figure out, how do I fix this defensive line? How do I get an edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat? And how do I address a position that has felt like he's really struggled to try to get right over the last couple of years in the offensive line?
Does it feel like that person would come from inside the organization, somebody who's already on the ladder, already a part of the process, or do you think Ryan will possibly look outside of the organization because of, like you just said, right, the connections that Ian has had, we have seen be utilized heavily here in Chicago. Would they want somebody who also brings in those connections?
Well, I will say with their front office structure, whether it's Poles, Ian Cunningham, Jeff King, Trey Koziol, like they're all, and Matt Feinstein too, is their, you know, their cap guy. They've got a very tight knit group. So you could absolutely see it being somebody from the inside. But Ryan Poles, if you look at his, you know, where he's from, spent his entire career in Kansas City. I haven't looked to see who Mike Borgonzi. I mean, granted, most of these personnel changes, it's different than coaching staffs. The way it will work in Jacksonville anywhere is that you get through the draft with who you have, and then that Monday after is typically when contracts are up, staffs get restructured. If you're going to poach somebody from another staff, like those are when those moves and those interviews can start to happen. So I don't think we'd know as far as like if Ian Cunningham gets this job tomorrow or whenever it is in Jacksonville. It's not like Ryan Poles is going to have to name a new assistant general manager right then and there. I bet they wait until, you know, that first week of May to do that. So it could be somebody from his past. I mean, the thing that was interesting and very unique about their situation was that they never worked together. They knew each other from being on the road. They formed a really cool relationship. Ian was, I believe, he was living in Dallas at the time, and he and Ryan Poles had just kind of like crossed paths because Ian came up under Ozzie Newsome, and you know he's in Philly too. And Ryan, it's weird. It's like there was no natural intersection that they like just formed a really good relationship. And when Ryan was interviewing for, I believe it was a Carolina job, he and Ian kind of formed, like initially 3 years ago now, before he got the Bears job, the year before, they formed this pact where it was like, whoever gets the job first, we're bringing each other along.
Right.
And you just wondering who's going to be that next person for Ryan Poles, because you got to have your people with you in the front office to make sure that your blind spots are getting covered. That you know, like if there are any sort of, you know, pitfalls in decision-making processes, that those things get figured out. But, you know, it's, I think Ryan Poles would have a contingency plan for this by now, considering it's February 18th, the time that we're recording this. And, you know,
this is year three of it.
it's weird that Jacksonville hasn't figured this out yet, but that cannot prevent you from making sure that your structure and everything else, like that, you know, if he ends up going somewhere and taking a job, like his responsibilities are covered by somebody else.
I really wonder if Ian would want to go through this for a second time, right? It very similar to kind of how things, shouldn't say similar, because technically Ryan Poles was hired before Matt Eberflus was here, but the interviews were already being done. There was already a process in place that was happening. And then they come in and you kind of went through this where, all right, we're trying to figure it out the other way versus going about it the normal process. I do wonder if Ian Cunningham will be like, I've been through that before, and it seems like we're figuring it out now. I'm going to stick it out here and see how this goes.
And the good thing with Jacksonville is that they do have a quarterback. It's not like you're going to a place that you it's better than some of the other spots, but granted, you go to Jacksonville, it's not necessarily like win now. It kind of feels, I mean, it's not like go win a Super Bowl right now, because they're far off from that, but you do have to win.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence was drafted in 2021. It's 2025, like it's put up time. And if it doesn't happen right away, then you're, as a general manager, in a spot where you're probably thinking about moving on from somebody you paid, $275 million to in a five-year deal?
That is 100% correct there, with $200 million guaranteed there, Courtney.
Yeah, and that's sometimes making the right of the last front office's wrongs is hard, and sometimes that can buy you a little bit of time as a general manager, because it's not like, you know, if you have an owner who's self-aware enough to know this is going to take some undoing before we actually get back to a baseline where we can build from, maybe that's an incentive enough to take it if you're Ian Cunningham and not wait it out for one more cycle. But then again, and I've seen this with general manager candidates before, if you've been in the cycle long enough, sometimes, not that you get forgotten, but sometimes you get cycled through. he's been through it three times. And this is the third time now where he's got to decide, okay, do I strike now or do I bet on myself that I'm going to still be a candidate in a year from now? Because some people, I've seen it happen where some people do that. They turn down opportunities and then it's like the next year, like nobody's calling to interview you.
Because they don't expect you to finish out the interview. They don't expect you to actually take the job. Yeah.
Or it's just that like your name's lost its luster. I've seen it happen. And it's a terrible thing. If like you think, some of that's the team itself. Are you on a team that like was absolutely awful last year? Were you on a team that, you know, made poor decisions with a quarterback? Are you on a team that, you know, has shown like an inability to fix certain positions? You know, strike when the iron's hot. And this, not saying it's like that this is the hottest his iron will be, but it is something that I think Ian has to consider before he decides either to go or to stay in Chicago for another year.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's going to be real interesting to see kind of what Jacksonville goes with this and where Ian Cunningham goes with it, because like you said, he could be somebody who looks at the job and goes, the Duval threw me off. I just wanted to go through the process to make sure I stayed on point. It's still weird. It's not even better when he did it the second time. Let's finish it out with this, Courtney, because you stirred up the blood of a lot of Chicagoans here with
your part of the offseason, guys.
The conversation about Aaron Rodgers possibly coming to Chicago. A lot of people saw this clip, listened to this clip, and were a little up in arms about it, which, I mean, look, there's a major op there, you know, but I think a lot of people believe he's going to fulfill the prophecy and end up in Minnesota. Yeah, but
it's going to go the Favre route.
He's full Favre right now. He's not slowing down. Aaron Rodgers to Chicago, Courtney. What made you think that as a backup to Chicago?
So there's layers to this. First and foremost, I think about Caleb Williams and what he did not have last year, which was someone who spoke the language intricately in the room. And it's not to say he didn't have good coaches. It's not to say that Austin Reed and Tyson Bagent are not good quarterbacks, but he really needed somebody. The structure was just not good for somebody who had the weight of this franchise on his shoulders and was, you know, named QB1 before he was ready. That's what it came down to. So I thought about, well, who does Caleb Williams really like? He always talks about certain people and everybody wants to talk about, Patrick Mahomes. He could be the next Patrick Mahomes. He is the off-platform stuff. No, absolutely not. Who does he talk about all the time? Talks about Aaron Rodgers and how there's certain aspects of his game that he tried to model after Aaron Rodgers. And this conversation was sparked because last week, everything was like after the Super Bowl or right before the Super Bowl, the Jets say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Aaron Glenn's coming in, new general manager too in New York. They're done. They're done. They're moving on. So they're going to release him. If you're Aaron Rodgers, and I get it, the season he had last year was better than Caleb Williams at 3,897 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Is that mid Aaron Rodgers with the Jets? I tend to believe it is because look at how bad that team was. They were 5-12 team. They were no better than the Bears. Literally identical record as the Chicago Bears. But I don't think at 41 years old, if you're self-aware, that's a big if with Aaron Rodgers, if you're self-aware enough to know, probably not going to win another championship. Because think about the options that are open right now. And I realize this is a long-winded way of getting to this, but like this needed some explanation. Pittsburgh might stick with Justin Fields. Who knows? Raiders might go with Russell Wilson. Who knows? Then the other teams that need a quarterback, Tennessee Titans, the New York Giants, the Cleveland Browns, maybe the New Orleans Saints. Are any of those like dead set Aaron Rodgers is better than what they already have, or a team that like two of them, Giants and Titans that I mentioned, they're using a pick on a quarterback. They're doing that. You don't want to be top three in the draft. Hell, the Cleveland Browns could do it if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
It's just none of it makes sense to where Aaron Rodgers, day one, surefire starter somewhere else that makes a team that much better. And also knowing the baggage that you bring in with an Aaron Rodgers. So my thought is if he's self-aware enough and reached a point of self-actualization where he wants to do some, you know, kind of right some of his wrongs, because publicly, you know, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Absolutely. Day one, like he'll get into Canton. But I think he's done himself a disservice the last couple of years by the way that he's handled things off the field with the New York Jets. Of course, you know, how much of a bust of an investment as that was. Yes, I know the Jets didn't have to give up that much because of the playing time thing, whatever.
Yeah.
If he's at the point where he can right his own wrongs and not do what he did the last time he was in this situation where he could have brought along Jordan Love and he said, no, I'm good. I still want to go. Like, I don't want to be pushed out. Can you learn from someone like Ben Roethlisberger who wouldn't do it with Mason Rudolph or any of the other quarterbacks and see how poor that succession plan was and say that this could be my part of my legacy at the end to bring along the next possible Aaron Rodgers? Then him as a backup, I think makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, it's going to come down to does he want to be a backup? Because at 41, he could be like, if I'm not a starting quarterback, then I'm retiring right now.
Yeah.
And to no fault, like I would not fault him for doing that. But if we're looking at all the options right now, do I think the Bears would do this? No. I think that the guy who did the discount double check on you and like said, I own you.
Yeah.
I don't think the McCaskies would sign off on this. But there's logic in place that shows you it would make sense for someone like Caleb Williams. You have four-time MVP in the room, somebody who, no matter who your quarterback coach is, no matter who else is in the room, the guy's going to have an answer for literally everything.
Yeah.
And be able to develop you into the franchise player that you want to be, you explore the idea. Now, I think people hear that and say absolutely not, no way in hell, and I would not blame anybody for saying that, but I don't think it can be ruled out completely just in terms of we don't know what Aaron Rodgers wants yet next year and what his long-term vision for himself is, because how long is that long-term? You're 41 years old, dude. Like, you're going to keep playing. I just think that it's something that should be considered because this is more than just the on-field legacy that he could leave. And I think he could change a lot of opinions about him if he ends up, you know, maybe kind of like bucking the notion that he's all about it for himself, that he could be the guy that like brings along the next generation to be the next Aaron Rodgers out there.
I wouldn't trust it, Courtney. I fully believe
it because you're a Bears fan, and I totally get that because there's probably the internal angst about it.
But he has said, I enjoy breaking the Chicago Bears. I wouldn't trust that you'd hire, like, I think there are some people that would be like, Aaron Rodgers, come on in. You got to do it. Come on.
Highly talented player.
You know what I mean? But I would feel like he's like walking in the room and just going, all right, how do I sabotage this? How do I Benedict Arnold this whole situation in here?
Like, if that's the case, then sure. Check no on the no box. But I don't think the hardest thing for anybody to understand is like what's going on in Aaron Rodgers' head. And I think Michelle Smallman brought this up yesterday on because they played the clip that I had from my show on Sunday morning, best week ever. And they played it on Sportsman. Like, Chris Canty agreed with me. Michelle Smallman made the point of he's going to be a distraction either way because Aaron Rodgers is a backup. If Caleb Williams struggles, the Bears are going to be like, put Aaron Rodgers in. Aaron Rodgers in. And I get that. But are they not at a point where it's kind of like win now? Brian Poles has got to do that.
Yeah.
Like, this front office has had 3 years now, and they haven't won. They took a step back this past year. They have a new head coach. I don't think it's the worst thing either way, whatever would happen with the quarterbacks if he had to end up playing in Chicago. I mean, there's weirder things that we've seen from quarterbacks you thought would never play in one destination and quarterbacks in roles that you never thought they would be in. Him as a backup, I get it. It's hard to envision, but I don't think it is the worst possibility for Aaron Rodgers at where he's at this point of his career and what it means for a viable backup option for the Bears, but also for the growth of the guy that you drafted number one overall, expecting to one day be on a trajectory like Aaron Rodgers.
I just wonder if you can deflate the ego enough to get him like in the room to be a backup. Like that's big the if. Big if.
You big know what if. I mean? and I do wonder, like, to be told from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, hey, like, we're good on this. Knowing for them, their best chance to win in New York in 2025 is probably with Aaron Rodgers, and they're like, nah, we're good. Getting rid of you, getting rid of Devontae Adams, we're getting rid of all your friends.
Yeah.
That's got to be a big blow to the ego, because who are the Jets going to go get with a top 10 pick? Like, you know, there's no surefire option in the draft of, wow, this guy's such a better option to win out. They're headed towards a rebuild. again, yeah. another like maybe like a retooling. I don't know what you call it in New York. They do this every freaking year. So like speaking of like ego and dismantling the ego, like I do wonder what that would have done to Aaron Rodgers. If there's a spite factor, if there's a self-realization factor, whatever it is. It's something I think you have to consider. I've had worse takes than this. I've had absolutely wilder, more outlandish takes than this.
Oh, listen.
I think it's an interesting talking point that causes a lot of different reactions to it. And it might be absurd. It might be outlandish. But I don't think that it's something that is so far out of the realm of possibility that shouldn't be floated.
Listen, I think this is not illogical. I think it's a tough take.
Sure.
But I don't think that it's illogical.
That's a tough ask of Aaron Rodgers.
That's a tough ask. You know what I mean? But I don't think that it's illogical. My take back in, was it 2017? I think 2018, where I said Mitch Trubisky had the chance to be white Cam Newton. That's a tough take. That's illogical. You know what I mean? That's probably worst take of my career to this point. And I hold that proudly. Like, you got to think before you speak. That was one of those. Yeah, I was watching a lot of First Take. I was like, oh, I think I could roll with this one. Yeah, it's bad. But this one at least has some logic to it there, Courtney.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll see what ends up happening with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not gonna lie, still one of the most interesting stories of the offseason. So definitely gonna be tapped in on that. We appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love as always, man. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Stay tapped in with us here at ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago, and on the Chicago Bears Breeze. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.